You just realized that you needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there's no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? Well, in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BWN. Just go to Indeed.com/BWN right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BWN. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. Recording this the afternoon of Thursday, June 26th. It's the 2025 Brewers, I'll say it, championship season. Shout out Tim Allen. Miss you, buddy. Brewers, they have a weekend series now with the Colorado Rockies. And this is a week where you could expect them to pick up some dubs. They got two out of three from the Pirates, and now they're taking on the Colorado Rockies. Cubs and Cardinals are playing as I am communicating these words into this microphone. So the Brewers, as of tonight, will probably be three games back of Chicago in the National League Central, which it looked like a couple weeks ago, the Cubs are really starting to distance themselves. If you look at the wild card, it's a big jam like it always is. But the Brewers, if the season ended today, would be in via that. So it's starting to become more real that this could be a playoff team. This is a team that, again, every year you think is going to win 78 games, and then you know that, and then you say, okay, fine, they'll win 83, but then they win like 89. I was trying to get ahead of the curve. I said, nope, this is the year. It's all going to come crashing down, which is just so stupid. This is what we get. This is the Brewers. And for better or for worse, it could be a lot worse. We got a bite to the Apple franchise. We're biting apples. Are we ever going to win a World Series? No. Are we ever going to have a season where we have 29 wins by this time? No, thank God. The Rockies come in at 18-62. If the Brewers do happen to lose a game, it's fine. If they lose two or three, that maybe sucks. I'm not saying it's a must-win series, but it's a can't-lose. Dom Catronio is going to join us on this episode with the Brewers Radio Network, with the Brewers on FanDuel Sports Network, with Locked On Brewers. He's all over it previously. Now, of course, that's my guy Freems, but he's all over it. And he'll join us here in a little bit to talk about this Brewers team. The game that had everybody talking was Mizorowski versus Skeens. Will I regret not paying $10 to get a printed ticket to say I was there? I may, but I had a big agenda to only spend the $1 that I spent to get in. I had a kids' crew voucher, and I used it for a euchre seat. And then I met up with Corey from West Dallas, who joined me when the Bucks did the parade chairs. He actually called into my show last night. I'll have that here in a second. But then I went up to the seat and I was sitting around the 400s, which I never want to sit in again. You know, that's I'm above the 400s. Once I got a taste of that media life, that box seat, And, you know, when, I've been taking my kid and we try to sit in the first section so he can be close. But I don't know. I think he might need to experience a 400. The view is actually really enjoyable. When the Brewers got four on Skeens in the second, it was like, I like being able to see it from that vantage point. I don't know. There's something to be said for sitting up there. You like to be closer. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what I should do as a dad with a kid. Do I spoil him right away and give him the... But now we've sat so close a few times. We went to Wrigley last week and we're in the first section. It was awesome. But now if he ever has to go up there, he'll be like, this sucks. So I'm not sure what I want to do about that. Maybe I'll take him up there and let him see the view, what it looks like up there, and buy a lower ticket. I'm trying to get to that weird Friday 3 o'clock game next month where they're going to have the home run derby after. Why are they having it at 3? I don't know. I was trying to figure out on the show this week. I was like, why is the NBA draft? Last year, it was 2 days, just like this year. But last year, they had round two in the afternoon. Why would they have round two in the afternoon? Someone said, they had to move for that presidential debate. You know, the Trump-Biden one. That was the same day that Bronny James got drafted. The same day. Oy, oy, oy. The NHL is going to move to 84 games. If NBA did that, it would be a complete meltdown. NHL is going to do it, and no one's going to bat an eye. It's kind of weird. So I don't know what to do about the tickets. I'll take suggestions on that, however you can. The NBA draft, by the way, Bucks have not picked yet. They pick in round two. I'm hoping to hop on live Friday afternoon at some point, TBD. So I'm hoping to talk some Bucks and some NBA draft. Nothing real crazy. I can't believe the Nets made all five of their selections in the first round. Thought for sure they'd trade some. The Pelicans trading up 10 spots for Queen, but then giving up next year's first, which could be the Bucks or the Pelicans, to Atlanta if the Bucks are bad. Which I think the Bucks. I was mapping out what I think is going to go down in the East. I think the Bucks are going to be... I think they're going to be in the play-in. I think you're looking at a play-in Bucks. I ranked what I think is going to be the seedings next year. I got Cavs 1, Knicks 2, Pistons 3. I'm high on them. Magic 4, Sixers 5, Celtics 6, 7 Pacers, 8 Bucks. I mean, that's going to suck, but we'll get to know what a play-in game is like for the first time ever, perhaps. Or who knows? Maybe Giannis wins the MVP and they're a top even 6 seed in the East. We are, as always, brought to you by Happy Place Hemp. Promo code is BART, happyplacehemp.com. The promo code is BART, 25% off each and every order. Gummies and tinctures and seltzers. Oh, the summer seltzers. There's nothing like them. There's nothing like having one of the 5 milligrams maybe sometime early afternoon, enjoying some weather, and then maybe having a stronger one later. At night and really just relax, enjoy summer, look outside, be outside, you know, got that heat wave. It's relaxing. It's refreshing. Check those out. And of course the gummies that help you sleep or stay focused, a lot of different uses for CBD and the THC and everything that they have to offer. The promo code's BART. You get 25% off every time you order. I mean, this is not a one-time thing. This is some of you are up to like time 25. Which is awesome. Promo code BART, 25% off. As far as the Skeens-Mizorowski matchup, it was great to see that many people in Milwaukee at a game on a Wednesday afternoon. Not that the Brewers aren't drawing crowds. They're doing just fine in that department. All of baseball is doing pretty good this year. But to see that many people understand, hey, this is a big deal. I got to get to it. I think that was cool. I think that was really cool. Even if you had to take off or however you got there. I came, I watched the guys pitch. I did leave after that. I talked, some other people did, I guess. But the Brewers got the 4-2 victory and are looking really good right here, 45-36, as we talk to you. So I'll describe more of the atmosphere with Corey. He called into the show last night, and then we'll pick it up and have some conversation big picture about this team with Dom Catronio on this episode of Into the Winklerverse.
Bart, how's it going tonight?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I know you were there for at least part of the game, but I just wanted to call in and talk about Mizrowski versus Skeens this afternoon. It's a 110 start in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee sold it out, which is incredible.
So Jacob Mizrowski, let me just set the scene for the folks here. Jacob Mizrowski, this guy throws about 100 on every pitch. They finally called him up. Brewers fans have been waiting. His first 11 innings, he did not give up a hit. And here he is on the mound because of a rain delay last week. It timed out where he gets to face. He's the NL Rookie of the Year frontrunner right now. He gets to face Paul Skeens, the NL Cy Young frontrunner right now. And once this matchup was official, you're right. The crowd bought tickets immediately. The place sold out. It was their highest attendance of the year for, again, a Wednesday day game between the Brewers and the Pittsburgh Pirates to see Skeens and Mizrowski. And it felt like there was something special kind of in that ballpark today. And then the two of them had a combined 9 innings of work, Corey.
It was, it was phenomenal. Skeens, we all know who he is. Mizrowski went, I think, 4 innings, no hit ball today. Might be off on that. He had 8 strikeouts, no walks. One walk. His opening batter, he walked. Skeens followed suit, 1 walk, then 2 strikeouts. But then the Brewers got to him. And so, yeah, 4 runs there. They knocked Skeens out early. But it just, you know, like 2 small market teams and watching this happen was, you know, it's pretty incredible. It's, Fernando mania, the D train, similar things to those, you know, where these guys just come up and, you know, and just like the city goes wild. And I think we've got something here with La Miz, and I'm looking forward to just seeing how all this develops. He could be, you know, once Woodruff comes back in the Brewers and we got Peralta, you got the Miz going in, and now all of a sudden you've got 3 studs coming in. And if the Brewers can keep this up, I think that they could actually make a deep threat, regardless of what we think about how the Brewers will probably never win a World Series, which I agree with you.
Yeah, they won't, but it was still fun to see. I do think that there was at least a little bit of attention in baseball. Like, hey, there's this really good pitching matchup that's happening. I think a lot of people, you know, in Milwaukee made sure to find a way to get to that game. A full stadium in a regular season, late June game. Where would you rank the vibe between, because I know you get to a lot of games, between like an opening day, between like a playoff game, between like a big rivalry game against the Cubs or something?
Opening day has its own thing going because it's opening day, and the playoffs are always very intense. This is for just a regular season game. This is that was absolutely number one. I really kind of wish that Skeens would have done better. I think the Brewers worked really good at bats, and I think Haas had, you know, just like he kind of caught the luck of the draw in like a check swing, which ended up being like an RBI. But regardless of all of that, as far as a regular season game, I really think that was like maybe the best regular season game that American Family Field has ever seen.
Well, it's good to see you. Sorry I had to go bail. I had to go take some pictures for my social media.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got to do that. You got to let the people know you're out there.
Yeah, but it was good to see you, Corey, and thanks for calling in.
Yeah, good to see you too. We'll talk to you soon.
You just realized that you needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there's no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? Well, in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BWN. Just go to Indeed.com/BWN right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BWN. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Learning a new language opens the door to new friends, new cultures, and maybe even a whole new life. So why not start the journey today? There's over a dozen languages available to learn at your own pace so you can achieve your goals with material tailored to your individual proficiency level, interests, and time availability. I'm finally learning French after taking classes in high school and thrilled to finish what I'd started years ago. And my favorite part about Babbel is that it's dialogue-based. It helps me to actually practice conversations, and the speech recognition ensures I'm saying words correct them all. So get talking with Babbel. I want you to learn another language, so I'm teaming up with Babbel to gift you 55% off subscriptions, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/bluewire. Get up to 55% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. babbel.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we are into the Winklerverse, stepping in for the first time, Dom Cotroneo, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, how we doing, Bart?
Good, good, good. Pre and post with the Brewers Radio Network. Also, the Stat Man. Your name gets mentioned maybe once a broadcast.
That's in my contract for BA to make sure to mention me every single time I give him a good nugget. I get way too much airtime for any stats guy in the league. I think I definitely lead the league in that department.
And then do you go on the TBS trips every week?
Every week. So this past week, we had Braves, Mets in Queens. So like, just to give you an idea of what I'm doing. So Monday I'm watching the game. I'm watching Brewers Pirates from my hotel room and like, just, you know, helping my fill in out from afar, but just watching the game mostly. And then doing the post game show with pillows on my wall, just to not disturb too many people, do the post game show from my hotel room in New York. I take Tuesday off. I just focus on TBS on Tuesday. And then I take the first flight back from wherever I am back to Milwaukee in order to do that game. Now, it worked out great on Wednesday with Brewers, with Skeens and Miz. But then I do that game. Then I, you know, go through it all. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of baseball. And in the span of a week, I can get, you know, 7-8 games in a week on some weeks.
So during the game, like for the average simpleton watching TV, how much of what is said is because you found that out?
Well, I think the big thing that I always explain to people, it's not like these guys are just like, I'm not the teleprompter.
Yeah.
So these guys are doing prep. We all talk about what to look out for and numbers that we know. We get so much information. It's kind of on what I view it as, myself, the producer, the graphics team, is reminding the guys what we have in the can and can kind of remind them like, hey, we have that built. We have that as a graphic. We can talk about this. We have a Statcast built for this or whatever. And then, you know, there are times that, you know, I would rather not my name said on the air. Like, they're doing it to be nice, but it takes away from them weaving in how they want to frame it. You know, I think Jeff and BA do such a brilliant job of involving their color analyst, whether it's Rock, Vinny, or Tim, where it's not just the play-by-play guy gives the numbers and we react from the color guy. Like they're able to give the number and Rock understands or Vinny understands it and says that number and then turns that into the point. It's not so number player rigid. It's a really a flow and a conversation. And I'm just trying to be part of that three-man weave of, can we tell stories? Can we tell stories with numbers? And can we just watch the game? So that's how it all kind of works in our dynamic.
And it's, I mean, in any sport, if in any sport it's needed, it's baseball, which is truly, so number driven.
It's such a pastime. There's every number under the sun you could look up, but yet, like, I can look up guys' families or collegiate teammates or recipes or regions of northern Wisconsin that the tavern or the game is. It's just like, you never know what my Google search is going to look like that day.
Yeah, you could probably publish those at the end of every night.
That would be funny. And we do like a Google Doc on the road, and it's just like I delete a lot of stuff, and it's like type in, type out. It's just like my pile of index cards that are done for the day and like thrown away. There's some stuff like, wait, like nice note. Like I didn't know that. There's so much that makes the trash or maybe never even makes the air too.
Lucky for you that Skeens and Mizorowski was not on Tuesday.
Whew,
that would be a hard one for if you're at the ballpark basically every day.
Well, I tell you what, we missed 2021. BA and I were on the road for Burns' hater no hitter. So we were really bummed for that one in Cleveland. And I'm super happy that Craig Kishon got to call it, like colleague, right, friend of mine. But it's just like the selfishness in you is like, oh, I want to work a no hitter, but it all happens for a reason. It's trade-offs.
Well, then you can have the combined no hitter. Is that a no hitter debate?
Yeah, it is a good point.
So I don't know if you missed anything. I always forget that it happened. I still say like that Brewers still have one no hitter, and then
well, it's funny with Miz last Saturday. You know, everybody knew there was no chance Miz was going to finish that game in Minnesota, whether it be pitch count, whether it be another big long inning against him, whatever. But like he was going to get pulled after the seventh inning, regardless, and there has never been a combined perfect game in Major League Baseball history. And then we get that real debate where it's like, is it really a perfect game?
Well, he had 11 no-hit innings, right, to start his career.
Yep.
So that's a stat you're going to be digging for a long time. I think just on that game specifically, I was able to get there and watch it. It was just like the vibe was really cool because – you know, opening day is opening day. Everyone's going to go to opening day.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like even this year, there was, I mean, it was, I'm going to start crying right now. It was sad. Opening day was for sad. Sure.
You're telling
show
me,
the
man.
Euchre thing, it was.
You're telling me. Jesus. It's like, so to backtrack on all of that, obviously, you know, this is my fourth season with WTMJ. And yeah, I got to know Bob and I was just like, totally, my first time I met him in 2021, I was starstruck. And it just blows my mind that I got to know that man and got to pick his brain a little bit. But then, like, you know, all spring training, I was there for all spring training, and Jeff and I talked about it a lot of, like, how are you going to do this? You know, I know you're going to figure it out. And then it's like that spring training dress rehearsal, the first broadcast without you. But, like, really the gut punch was in spring training for me. Was like that first broadcast, and you saw the photo of Bob and the beautiful floral arrangement and Uke's chair. That's, I got hit in the gut that day, and that was brutal. And that kind of helped me like prepare for what opening day was going to be like. And then it also didn't help that the game sucked. But the thing that made me smile is thinking that Bob was laughing at us. You know, it's like you guys are all emotional about this moment of silence and all this big video tribute and everything. And then it's like, I'm going to give you like a 12-0 game and make you like tell stories and grind it out. Like that's exactly what Bob would have wanted.
Yeah. And that was after a rough start, rough Yankees series. But with the game on Wednesday, it kind of had I don't want to say it felt like opening day, but it felt very, I don't know when the last time we had a game like this was. It felt very like celebrational. It felt like people, just how quickly it sold out too, like for mm-hmm. Milwaukee to recognize there's a pretty special game happening here for the first time. People made sure they found a way to see it. Mm-hmm. Packed ballpark. They didn't let the moment go wasted. I think that was just a really telling, you know, cause you can always be like, oh, Brewers this, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But it was really telling, like something's happening in our town. We want to be a part of it. I thought the atmosphere was great. I thought when the Brewers put up four runs in the second, it was like, these were like playoff level cheers. It was truly awesome. It was awesome.
You took the words out of my mouth. That fourth, I was jumping in the fourth inning of like the crowd pops of just how loud it was in my ears. But the way I view it, and I know you can get behind this and correct me if I'm wrong. Obviously I'm a transplant, right? I'm not born and raised here, but I've spent now 5
You're
years.
Not born a Brewer?
I know. Can't believe it, right? My baseball fandom is very complicated since shout out to the A's. But the and I was born in Texas but grew up in Arizona. None of this makes sense. But the way that I view it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Wednesday proved Milwaukee's a baseball town. And I know we saw 2021, and I know we saw the Deer District, and I know we saw that parade and everything that went into that. But that proved to me this town on 2 days' notice, essentially, because the probables came out on Sunday. On 2 days' notice, this city realized, oh my gosh, we can go watch baseball history if this is built like it's supposed to be built. This is a heavyweight Ali Frazier. This is a once-in-a-lifetime Tiger versus Phil. This is something, the beginning. And the city and the market and the state recognize it. Like, I want to be there on a Wednesday afternoon. I will use a sick day. I will use hooky. I will do whatever. That's what gets me fired up about that game and that crowd. Biggest crowd of the year. Bigger than opening day. Like, that should tell you everything you need to know.
I don't want to say it's not a basketball town. I don't want to say that.
There is certainly a take there where people say, did you not see all those people in Deer? I'm not disputing that. That's 50 years of angst. That's 50 years of strength. But we all know about 82 and the lovable losers and 08 and everything. But, like, look, man, when this team does it, when this team one day goes back to the World Series, because they will, I promise you, they will, one day, it is going to be incredible, because this is a baseball town, and Wednesday just reminded me of that.
There is something special when you can, like, feel it. You can almost, like, pull it out of the air when the team is in the playoffs. You can feel it. There's such great history there, so I'll agree with you on that. I though have decided that the Brewers are not ever going to win a World Series in my life.
I know you have. That's why I said that.
but and I don't, maybe some of that's projection, or maybe some of that's defense. So maybe some of that's defense. But what, like, I love,
the Diamondbacks about, got to a World Series. The Rangers have won a World Series.
I know. But
the Royals have run a World Series.
I know. They all seem to use our model to get there, and we can't get there. What I think is so great about the Brewers in Milwaukee is, like, a year like this, at some point every year, 75 wins projection, and then fans are like, well, I know they'll do better than that. I'll say 82, but then they win like 89. Mm-hmm. And it constantly happens. And then you find reasons for it not to happen this time around. They look pretty good. I think they're going to be 3 games back of the Cubs with this afternoon game that the Cubs are playing against the Cardinals. And you're going to set up for a nice, fun race here going forward. I just, the whole morale, back to the baseball town thing, the whole morale, when you can, like, and now that I have a kid, when I can, like, go somewhere and there's another dad with a Brewers hat, and we can, like, just talk about the Brewers. It's easier to do that when they're good, you know, and you go places and you're checking the game. And it's just the Brewers being good. It's like vital to the heartbeat of Milwaukee. So if they're not going to whatever, but they're not, they could be a small market team that's just like, screw it. People will come. People won't. We're going to make money. But they invest maybe more than not enough, whatever.
How much you got on Premier League? What do you got on the Premier League? Like, what do you know about those towns all across the UK?
I'm a West Ham fan.
So you get it. Yeah. I mean, not a major, like, perennial top four of the table, perennial Champions League. There's great history, obviously, in West Ham. But it's just like, when you go and experience those middle of the table teams that are just, oh my God, we made top 10. Like, what a year. I'm not saying the Brewers are, like, grateful just to get in, because everybody wants to get in. It's another thing to go further. And I think I defend the fans saying, well, you do this to us every year where you exceed expectations but don't do anything with it. I think it's just, that's sports. Like, that's just, it doesn't go perfectly. If you would have told me in 2021 that the Bucks weren't going to get out of the first round for the next 4 years, I'd be like, you're crazy. But at the same time, it's sports. It's random. It's chance. And what I love, I'd always – here we are at the halfway point, right? You're three back of the team that's supposed to be beating you, supposed to be running away with this division, that has double your payroll. Like, you're three back of them. You're doing something right. Every single year, this team has a chance to make the postseason. And again, somebody who has an A's and Rangers upbringing, who lived through lots of seasons where that was not the case. Yeah. A lot of Brewers fans know that feeling in the 90s and 2000s where there was no chance when you woke up on opening day. That is worth something to be able to wake up here at the end of June. We're going to be buyers. That is so important to keep people interested.
45-36 heading into the series against the Rockies. So, they've been outscoring opponents. They've been one of the hotter teams the last 2 months. With Mizorowski here, it's been great, and the pitching staff. And I think that has really opened people's eyes, too, to like, oh, there's something going on. What do you attribute to the most, like how this team is where they are at this point? And is that enough to make this thing with the Cubs and maybe even the Cardinals really competitive?
I see the team finally leaning back into its strengths, meaning it's not a team that's going to, granted they're scoring runs now, they're not supposed to win games this way. They're supposed to win games like they won on Wednesday against Paul Skeens, where they score four dinky runs and then they hang on the rest of the way. Like, their pitching's that good. And when the offense shows up just enough, perfect, go win. And that's been the model, obviously, the last few years. But in the first month and a half, you had growing pains. I mean, Caleb Durbin struggled when he first came up. He's got swagger. He's got confidence. He's 5'6", and he's bat-flipping balls that get to the bleachers in left field. Like, that guy wasn't doing that in late April. And yeah, that was a really fun debut for him. Or Chad Patrick. Like, Chad Patrick's been traded twice. And one of the guys he was traded for is now on the Brewers coaching staff, Jace Peterson. Like, he was traded from the Diamondbacks org to the A's org for Jace Peterson.
On base Jace.
And like, he told me a story in spring training about how he was just on the field one day, like some mini camp in Arizona, and the A's were in town, and he finally got a chance to introduce himself to Jace. And he was like, hey, by the way, I was the guy that traded for, and they had a laugh about it. But it's just like, this team, it doesn't matter how many of people of the national media like know who these guys are, but they just know, they're the Brewers doing it again. They're doing their thing. They're running bases. They're stealing bags. They're playing great defense. And it's just like, let me say the quiet part out loud here for a second, Bart, because I know you can get into this. Go look at what William Contreras and Jackson Churio have really done this year. Really. Like, they can be better. And the fact is, they're 9 games above 500 in the hunt for a wild card and a central division with virtually nothing from William and a sophomore-ish, I'm not going to call it a slump, a sophomore season from Churio. It's just like, there's still room to get better, which makes me excited. It's not like they're playing absolutely peaking. They can't play better than this. There are still areas that you look at and you're like, whoa, that team could be scary, scary, scary good. And oh, by the way, 22 is starting to look like 22 again, and Yelly is starting to hit a lot more consistently and looking like the surgery decision was a success.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/autodiscounts. Restrictions apply.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I think what I would say at the beginning of the year for are the Brewers going to be good, I'd say, well, you got guys that you can trust, Contreras, Churio, and Yelich, enough. And then, like you said, look, two of those guys down. Yelich, I mean, I'll take the returns on this from Yelich anytime. But then there's a lot of, and I think they've been built this way a long time. There's been, even if it was Braun and Yelich, you can depend on them. But then there's a lot of guys that have pretty big, you know, swings.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get more of those guys to step up, if you can get, you know, Sal to play the way he is and Terang to play the way he is, if you can get those guys, then suddenly you've got something. And you just look at the lineup and they, like, if they were all like in a nice little pattern at the same time, I mean,
that's baseball.
When would they, it's got to come into playoffs. That would be great.
That would be great too.
But a nice stretch of that lineup, 1 through 9.
Well, it's like,
it's there.
In April, it was all Reese, right? Reese was doing it alone and they were struggling. Then Reese cools off and then Churio heats up and then Churio cools off and now Yelly heats up. And now Sal has really been a spark at the leadoff spot. Bryce has found a better home in the 5-6 spot. Isaac Collins has come out of nowhere. And the thought of all this, even with Garrett going down, even with Blake Perkins still hasn't played a game this year, and given the way that Perkins ended his season and Mitchell ended their seasons last year, I think a lot of people were really excited for what they were going to provide this year. But when you look at the offense of this team, every guy on offense like has to do something extraordinary, but it's not necessarily on offense. Meaning what Sal does extraordinary is he puts bat to ball. Like anything can happen when you put bat to ball. And he plays gold glove defense. Like Churio, just dynamic. Like that's his extraordinary ability. But then you pull back on that lever for center field defense because he's not supposed to be playing center field. So the point, you can go down the lineup and say, every guy is doing what they're supposed to be doing. Like the scouting report, extraordinary. Like what are you doing that's above major league average? And if we get anything else from you, this team is going to be successful. And down the list, they've been getting more contributions. Honestly, Caleb Durbin's a guy that's here for his bat, for his, you know, his running, and for the ability to create havoc at the bottom of the order. And oh, by the way, he's suddenly a premier defender at third base and is ranking high in all the advanced metrics thanks to the work that he's done to develop that position for him. Joey Ortiz is still a very good defensive shortstop, and he's been hot lately. So when you get extra contributions from what you were already supposed to be doing, that's when you get these stretches like you're doing right now.
So, like you said, they're going to be buyers. They're going to get guys back, you know, eventually. And I always joke that, well, you know, we looked at some moves, and then it, you know, getting Brandon Woodruff back, and getting Garrett Mitchell, it's basically like trading for. I hate that, but you know, everyone says it. Is there a target that they should be looking at? I know you talked about Durbin playing better at the hot corner, but there's a lot of proposed trades that look there. Everybody wants pitching, and the Brewers seem to have enough at least. You know, you could always have more. If you're going to expect anything, what would you think that they would need to do?
It's going to be tough. The team that holds all of the pieces right now is the Arizona Diamondbacks of what they decide to do. Like, they just lost a tough one yesterday to the White Sox that was started by Zach Gallen, and Gallen's in a walk year. Merrill Kelly's in a walk year. Eugenio Suarez is in a walk year. Josh Naylor is in a walk year. Mm-hmm. And they've lost Corbin. They've lost two key relievers. Now Corbin Carroll is on the IL now too. So it's like they have the pieces that when the Diamondbacks send up that flare, all right, that's when the market gets hot. And the reason I bring them up is because Eugenio Suarez would be a perfect fit on this team. It's a rental. It's expensive, but it's a rental. And I understand I just praised Caleb Durbin for how well he's playing at third base. But man, you can imagine right-handed power of a lineup that has, you know, just hypothetically, you know, you get Sal, you get Churio, you get Yelich. So you go Churio, Yelich, Contreras, Hoskins, Suarez. Like, that's five straight guys that can leave the yard. And that's scary. Someone's going to get Eugenio Suarez this year. And again, I know the Brewers are really liking what Caleb Durbin's doing. He's the top of my wish list. Right-handed power. Like that's how I look at it for this team. Right-handed power. They don't need another lefty. They've got a switch hitter in Perkins coming back. They got switch hitter in Collins. They need right-handed power to help support what Reese has done so far this year.
I want to ask you something about baseball big picture. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think what I hate is when people say baseball is a regional sport. I don't think it's a regional sport. I think it is a national sport. I think the problem, or why we get into this, is if you compare everything to the NFL, they play once a week. You know, you watch your team and you can still watch 3-4 other games.
Yeah.
You know everyone's quarterback. You know everyone's coach. You know, the fantasy aspect's big, but even without that, I don't think that's what drives it. I don't think when people are like, oh, football's so good because of fantasy and gambling. I don't think that's right. It helps, but I don't think it's right. Baseball, there are plenty of Brewers fans that watch this team 6-7 times a week that can name maybe 3 other managers, you know? And so I appreciate, like, with the TBS stuff, they should have a game every week. But then there's like, there's other games on of your team. I think baseball, we got to find a way to have more. There's Sunday Night Baseball, but we got to have a way to find more standalone games.
Right.
Or I saw that the game that they're going to play at the Motor Speedway between the Reds and
Cardinals.
Yeah.
The Reds and Braves, I think.
Reds
and Braves, yeah.
I got pretty mad at baseball. Because I'm like, this is going to be a game. There's going to be 5 other games on, but there's not. It's going to be the only game. It's going to be on big TV. I get mad that baseball pumps out a schedule and then not everyone plays on Memorial Day, Labor Day, or 4th of July.
Yeah, look at our schedule. Because we're playing 18 in a row, we have to take an off day the day after Labor Day to make sure we play on Labor Day.
Yeah. And 1 year, the Cardinals were off the 4th of July, I think. Pleaded to make sure they could play.
Can never happen. But yeah. To your point, like the regionality aspect, I think that way of thinking is starting.
I'm glad you jumped in because I don't know if I was ever going to get to a question.
It's all good. I've done this too. Like I literally told that to Aaron Saval the other day. Like, I don't know if I have a question here, but like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Anyway, the whole point of the regionality, like, think of it 30 years ago. And when it was a big deal, when the Brewers game was on television, right? It was like, oh, there's 70 games on TV. And it was like, oh, cool. We can watch the Brewers or listen to Uke always, right? Now we've become so desensitized to every game being available. And furthermore, having to fork over more cash to watch every single game if we want it. I've made this rant multiple times this year. But if I want to watch every single Brewers game in 2025, I have to subscribe or pay for some entity of 6 different services, right? That can't happen. And that's how you make it even more regional, where you have this dismembered and the blackouts and all the chaos that is MLB.TV. The sooner we solve that problem, the better we get away from the regionality. But to back that up, when the Padres were here, I was stunned at how many Padres fans were here. And I mean this as a compliment. And I realized it's the kids. The kids are getting the highlights on YouTube. They're watching Fernando Tatis Jr. bat flip and look cool and have the colors and everything. They find something cool. They see it like, cool, I can watch them whenever I want. I can go on YouTube and watch them whenever I want. 30 years ago, if the Brewers happened to be on, cool, I'll go watch Jeff Jenkins go yard. But that's all I got. Oh, cool. Here come the Giants. I get to go watch Barry Bonds. Like, yeah, it wasn't quite the same. The access, the barrier to access is gone. Like, I can pull up right now, Google search Fernando Tatis highlights and watch 10 straight hours of Fernando. And then if I have an MLB TV subscription, I can watch them tonight against who they're playing. Whereas 30 years ago, if I wanted to watch some star player on the Padres, I got to get on a plane. So I think that's a progress point forward. It is still a regional sport, but it's getting better. And I think that there are chances for us to fix this with blackouts and with being able to just watch the dang product. I think that's just the most important thing that we have to fix right now.
My kid, he's going to turn 6 soon. And I got him into sports. I'm the best. But so every morning he wants to see the scores of the games. And we don't read books to him at night anymore. He just goes to bed with the Brewers on. But the other day, he's looking at my phone and he notices that you can tap on the score and then watch like a minute highlight of the game. So he's going through and I'm like, buddy, I wish you knew what 90s Sports Center looked like because they used to do that for you on TV.
Or if you knew what it was like to open the newspaper and realize, West Coast game tonight, there's not going to be a recap. There's not going to be a full complete score in here. Like
Brewers at Dodgers, late,
like catch it tomorrow. Like what? Like these kids have no idea how good they have it.
Yeah, it's awesome. And he's on the Pirates, so he was for Little League, so he had mixed feelings with this series.
All right, yeah. Well, I mean, Skeens is pretty cool, man. He's a great dude. I've talked to him once. I want to try to do a story with him about Bob, actually, because remember last year he asked to meet Bob Uecker, and the military service was part of that too, but. It's like, man, it's just like, I think now for the first time in a long time and maybe ever in baseball, maybe since the teens and 20s, that for the first time in a long time, people are fans of players more than they're fans of teams. And that hadn't previously happened in baseball to your regionality point. Whereas like in football, you could be a fan of AJ Brown on the Eagles because he's on your fantasy team.
Yeah.
Baseball didn't really have that until recently. And I think that's just something that we're watching happen in real time.
Series this weekend against the Rockies. Dom, thanks for joining me on your off day.
I'm always talking ball. There are no off days. You know, it's June. We're ready to go. I'm projecting trade deadline right now. Like we're trying to figure out what could actually work and play matchmaker. This is what we live for, right, Bart? Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Dom Cotroneo. And thank you and all of you for stopping into the Winklerverse.
How many discounts does USAA Auto Insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/autodiscounts. Restrictions apply.